The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Dory Monson Show. Amazingly, inexplicably, they allowed me back in the studio. Jason Matera guest hosting for Dory today. Day three guest hosting. And Nicole is back, too. She deserted me on Friday. We're going to have to chat about that one, Nicole. She deserted me for Vegas. So I guess, you know, hang out with Jason in the studio, go to Vegas. I still would have hung out with Jason in the studio. But, you know, I think it's a fair point that you went to Vegas. You know, they almost didn't allow me in the studio on Friday. I'm like frantically texting Nicole and be like, hey, the receptionist won't let me in. There's 50 minutes for airtime. I don't know what's going on here.
That was pretty funny. I was trying to help.
You were trying. Don't worry. It all worked out. It all worked out, Nicole. A big lineup of stories today. And in fact, we'll get to him now because, you know, he has his own show here. It's kind of a big shot on Fox News. Now, I knew him when he wasn't really a big shot, but he's a big shot now. Jason Rance, he has a show on, now, I don't know, is it, if I'm filling in on Cairo, do I refer to KTTH as the sister station? Because I know on KTTH, you refer to Cairo as a sister station.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of confused.
You can call us a brother station.
Brother
if that
station.
Makes you, I mean, we don't see gender over at KTTH. No. We just see the
gender
person.
Gender neutral. That's right. That's it. Well, we have Jason Rance here. His show is KTTH from 3 to 6 p.m. And you can see him on Fox. What is your next Fox News hit?
Well, I did it twice today. I think I'm on tonight, and I'm definitely on tomorrow. So.
Okay. There we
Fun
go.
Times.
Fun times. All right. So we're going to get to your story, but since I have you in the studio, I want you to comment on some stories that we were going to get to. Not surprisingly, I guess we heard with Aaron's news report, there was there was a stabbing, a knife fight in Pioneer Square.
What?
I know. Shocking that that would happen in Pioneer Square.
A very rare occurrence for the city of Seattle to see any kind of violent crime.
There's also yesterday, last night, Sunday, there was a shooting on Aurora, which, again, also very shocking. Aurora and 117th Street. Three people were shot. Thankfully, no one died. Police are still investigating the shootings.
They were all shot in the leg, too, right? Isn't that a little odd? How'd they all get shot in the leg? Was that a targeted shooting of the leg?
If that was intentional... Now you never know with these shootings because they may have been watching too much, Boys in the Hood back in the day, and they're not shooting the gun right; they're turning it their fist, and it just could be an accidental. Mm. But if it was intentional to shoot them, that's impressive.
That feels intentional. That feels like I'm sending a message, right?
It does.
Yeah, you're just trying to debilitate them or keep them from running, maybe, or something. It's a scare.
Well, now we have a. As I know, you cover the city council quite often on your show, but we have a city council. Last week, we talked about how the new big proposal or exploration is to legalize LSD and shrooms. As though that's what Seattle needs, apparently, is more legalized drugs.
It feels like it's already legalized in Seattle.
It's already it's decriminalized to begin with. But this shows you the priorities. We're breaking numbers in the wrong direction, right? We're breaking numbers with shootings. We're breaking numbers with murders. And yet the city council is more focused on, hey, how many more drugs could we officially legalize? Is there a breaking point, do you see?
Yes, I just don't know what that breaking point is. I thought the last election was the breaking point that would become fully realized. And yet the voters here pushed through candidates who were further to the left than the previous council. And right now you've got Nicole Thomas Kennedy, who's running for Seattle City Attorney. She won in the primary. There's some context, obviously, when you've got a three-way race. But I mean, you've got someone who's an open police abolitionist, a prison abolitionist. That is only going to add to the problems if she were to win and become the Seattle City Attorney, which has, regardless of what the council wants you to prosecute, you have prosecutorial discretion. You can choose to go after some of these drug crimes. You can choose to go after some of the homelessness crimes that are occurring if they fall within your jurisdiction. It depends on the level of crime. And to have someone who's flatly saying, yeah, I'm not going to prosecute for the most part, you can't overcome that. That will destroy the city of Seattle.
And there is an alternative, though.
There is an Ann Davidson. The issue is, will enough Democrats, because we're only talking really about Democrats, will enough Democrats say, I will hold my nose and vote for a Republican, because otherwise they find that to be an odious position for them to take. When they're faced with someone who's so far to the left, it would make the city unrecognizable.
I mean, so far to the left, and to the point where she says, you mentioned the abolitionist part, abolish the justice system, but she says we prosecute too many crimes under Pete Holmes, which is an astonishing fact.
She goes, you know what we're doing? We're prosecuting the homeless person who is suffering and stole a sandwich to eat. Where is that happening? Well, I would love to know the case that she keeps referring to about stealing a homeless person stealing a sandwich. That is not happening.
Well, I will say this. Last year during the BLM riots following George Floyd's death, I did see people looting Cheesecake Factory. You don't know. They may have.
There might have been a sandwich there. Were any of them prosecuted?
I don't. Probably not. Probably not. I do know. Speaking of whether Seattleites have woken up or not, one of my neighbors, I was talking to him, and he just casually mentioned how, and he's, the guy's not a conservative, but he was like, you know, there's someone running for city attorney who says we don't prosecute enough crimes. That's insane. So I'm hoping that that type of mentality will seep down. But I guess we'll see. You know, we'll see. Another instance is there was another fire. This was on Saturday afternoon where a homeless encampment of shocking caught fire. I know you're very surprised about that, Jason Rance. And a 66-year-old man had to be transported to Harborview Medical Center. It's the encampment along I-5 near Boeing Field. What's interesting is how we hear the left now with these vaccine mandates or COVID surges saying, well, you don't get the vaccine, you're taking up valuable space in hospitals, and we may not have, may have to triage and find out who we can save and who not. And much of that is hyperbole. But following that same logic, the same pattern right there, how many of the, these fires are like almost like a daily occurrence. How many resources of first responders are diverted to these homeless encampments, whereas what if taxpaying citizens here in Seattle need the resources? We know with Seattle Police Department, the response times are astronomical. We have fire departments being diverted all the time. It seems like there's a similar logic that the left should be engaging in, but we know they won't because it doesn't fit their priorities.
You're exactly right. It doesn't fit the narrative that they want set, nor does it set up or get in line with their priorities. And their priority is not to bring people who are living outside inside. They keep talking about how we need to address homelessness while not doing enough to bring them into. We've purchased hotels and they're still not bringing people in. There's no teeth to a lot of any of what we're talking about here as far as enforcement, because they've told, at least in the Seattle area, you're not getting involved. From different city perspectives, they're doing virtually the same thing. They're saying cops really can't get involved. And then the cities that have been doing some more, like Bellevue, which is a good example, Marysville is a really good example of a carrot and stick approach to dealing with homelessness. You now have statewide laws impacting every single police department that deeply impacts the way that they deal with homeless people who are breaking the law out on the streets. You still can't just go ahead and arrest people who are breaking the law thanks to the way these laws are being interpreted. I say interpreted because, in fairness to the left, they're saying, oh, this is not the way that we intended. Well, that's the way you wrote it. So fix your bills and then we can have that conversation.
Yeah, and they're starting to try to fix them because they're seeing the consequences of, even if we take them out, these poorly written bills. Now, when it comes to, it's interesting, you mentioned the carrot and stick approach. The left really doesn't like the concept of jail, because what do you do with a person who wants to just be on drugs, wants to commit property crimes to fund their drug habit, live on the street, trash public green spaces, disrupt quality of life? And if they don't want all the help, I mean, the billions of dollars that Seattle and King County has poured into these services, you don't want the help. Well, there's an alternative. And Seattle officials just cannot stomach that alternative.
Criminal justice system is perceived to be racist. It is a system of oppression that needs to be dismantled and then rebuilt in the eyes of social justice activists.
Yes.
And if you like that idea, go ahead and vote for Nicole Thomas Kennedy. Because that's basically what you're going to get. Go ahead and vote for Nikita Oliver in Seattle, who's running for the at-large council race to replace Lorena Gonzalez. Go ahead and vote for Lorena Gonzalez for mayor if that's what you want. If you don't want it, it's not simply good enough to simply vote for their opponents. You actually have to do something. You have to stand up. You actually have to organize. You have to contact your neighbors and your friends and your family members who live in Seattle to push them forward. Because I say on my show, AM 770 KTTH 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, that the bad policies of Seattle spread. Then they show up in Eatonville. Then they show up in Gig Harbor. Then they show up in Bellingham. And before you know it, Seattle policies are now your policies. And you thought, oh, I can escape all the craziness of Seattle. No, you can't. And so if you know people in Seattle, make sure you're getting a little bit more active and involved.
Speaking of bad policies spreading, we are now going to get to the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
That wasn't the big lead. What did we just do?
No, that was the warm-up to the big lead.
That was the pre-big lead.
That was just a warm-up. That was just the tailgate.
Did you forget to say big lead so Andrew could push the button?
I don't know, actually. I don't know what happened. That could be it. But this is a local story, so it fits regardless. And it's one of your stories, and it's been bouncing around the internet. We just came off the heels of the 20th anniversary of 9/11. And you reported that there is a high school, East Lake High School, which is in Sammamish, out of all places, so not in Seattle, but on the east side. And the students, and I guess students mainly wanted to, and parents wanted a Patriots Day theme, so red, white, and blue clothing for a local high school football game. And that never materialized. Why not?
It didn't. So this football game was rescheduled to Friday, September 10th. And the students got together and said, hey, this would be a good time to wear red, white, and blue to remember the victims of September 11th and show your pride in your country. Obviously, these were kids who weren't even born at the time of the September 11th terrorist attacks. And so kudos to them for being so aware of history, but they found out Friday morning, courtesy of an announcement that was made during first period, that they would not be allowed to move forward with that particular theme. Now, if you wanted to wear red, white, and blue, we can't stop you, but as a school, we're not doing this theme. And so both students and parents were asking questions of the staff saying, what gives? We were excited to do this. We were looking forward to doing this. One student tells me that he was informed that the school thought it might be seen as racially insensitive and may impact people in a way that we will not understand. That's a quote from this student, as to people seeing, presumably from the other team, the red, white, and blue. Then I got a hold of a couple of emails, one sent from the associate principal and another sent from the principal, saying that they did not want to unintentionally cause offense to some who see it differently, speaking specifically of the flag and the colors. Obviously, the question then becomes, what would they have seen?
What's different?
Even out of the context of September 11th, what exactly are you seeing? And the school says, we're not implying that Rainier Beach High School, which is the team that they were going to, that they played on Friday night, it's not implying that they would be offended by this. Well, then who would be offended by this? It's leading people to believe that because that school happens to be majority-minority students, that all of a sudden, black kids or Latino kids would look at the flag and be like, I'm offended, which is presumptuous.
It's racist. It's a racist to presume anything based off someone's skin color. But back to that quote by the principal, that students unintentionally, that the flag, the red, white, and blue theme could unintentionally cause offense to some who see it differently. Unintentionally cause offense. So did they ever enumerate what this offense would be? Like, who would be offended? Why would they be offended? This is September 11th. It's kind of a big deal in our nation's history, kind of a big landmark. So no one, the principal never said, these are the people who would be offended.
I asked multiple times to get some clarification on what was meant. And the best I got was from a spokesperson saying that the principal effectively wishes that he had spoken a little bit differently in the statement, which was very clearly coordinated because the exact same statement was sent not just by the principal, but also by the associate principal.
Well, so spoke differently. They canceled it, though. Why are they canceling it?
They gave no explanation, and now they're starting to pull some. They had a red, white, and blue Instagram photo up to celebrate. This was before it was canceled for the football game theme. They pulled that. I'm told that as of earlier today, which I think had to do mostly with this story getting a lot of national attention, they got some nasty emails or voicemails from folks that they read as a threat. So they had a lot of police presence earlier today.
Course,
I think that the King County Sheriff's Office was definitely there checking the student IDs. None of the threats were deemed credible, as far as I can tell, as far as I'm told. So it's number one, if anyone sent a mean email or even mildly threatening voicemail, shame on you. You're doing no service to this story. But number two, it just gives an avenue now for the school to say that they're the true victims.
They're the victims here.
But they're not. They're clearly the victim if they got threats. That's wrong. And the people who sent those threats should go to jail or pay a price legally for that. However,
unless
they also
unless if they're homeless.
Well, I thought
then
that
they
that,
get elevated.
That was the subtext. No,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. Do you think that this cancellation was driven by, because it seemed like the principal was a little caught off guard, if we'd
that's
believe
my
him.
Guess
that's how the story
language,
reads. Yeah. Do you think this was more faculty driven? You have Antifa type sympathizers, because I can imagine it's student driven or even
it was not student driven. I'm certain of that. And the school admits through their communications director that it was driven at least by one staff member. And the language of the letter that went out or the statement was our leadership teachers made this decision. I don't know who the teachers are in the conversations behind the scenes. It was one staff member who made this. I don't know if it was more than one. I don't know if they're just sort of as a team coming together and saying, no, we all will own this decision. But it was driven by faculty. And since I started covering this story, because I posted it online yesterday, I have been hit up with so many videos and other stuff coming from that class, from that school, excuse me, Eastlake High School, of teachers bringing politics into the discussion. Students are pushing back and saying, this has been going on for a while. This is insane. Wait until you hear about this. Watch this video. So I'm collecting all of that, and there's going to be a part two to this story because I do think this is a – and by the way, kudos to these kids for not just standing up for this event but now pushing back, because ultimately, you know, when teachers will say something, when staff members get involved, you kind of feel weird. You don't want to push back too hard because you don't want to get punished for it. You don't want to go out on a limb for them. But you know what? A lot of – students are pushing back, and I love that.
This is why I'm in favor of body cams for teachers. If we have to have body cams for police officers, have a body cams for teachers.
Put it in the classroom,
right
put
there.
It in the back. You don't have to see anyone's face, blur it all out, or just audio record it. I don't need the video. I mean, I'll take the video.
Especially if it's if it's a public school. And this is a public school, and if your kids go to it, you should totally pull them. But we'll look forward to part two of this story. Jason Rance will be reporting. You can listen to him 3 to 6, 770 KTTH, and see him on Fox News all the time, right?
There you go.
There you go.
I think I'm on Tucker tomorrow.
You're
on
Tucker. There. On Tucker tomorrow. Okay. What they should have done, the students, now I think about it, is they could have had their Patriots Day theme if they promised to play the Black National Anthem during the football game. That would have cleared everything
They might
up.
Already do that.
You know, we're inclusive. I'm sure the school says they're inclusive, right? They're inclusive.
But can you believe that? That's the – no one – no adult thought – on September 10th, maybe don't make this move.
Yeah, I did.
That no one stood up, as far as we know, and said, this might not get a good reaction from
city people. There may be a backlash. There may be a backlash. No. Jason Rance, thank you for your time, good sir. And I'm Jason Matera, guest hosting for Dory Monson. When we return, Donald Trump made a few appearances over the weekend, and it sounds like he's gearing up for a 2024 run, and you'll hear the sound for yourself. Once we return, we'll be back in a flash. And good afternoon. We are back. The Dory Monson Show. Jason Matera guest hosting today. Day three of guest hosting for Dory as he's taking some much needed rest and relaxation. And Nicole, when is Dory back?
Oh, he'll be back tomorrow.
Dory is back tomorrow. So if you're like, man, I had enough of this Jason Matera guy. I want Dory. Well, it is Dory's show. So that is understandable. Don't worry. No fear. Dory will be back tomorrow with his usual sharp and insightful commentary on the day's events. Joe Biden was at many memorial events celebrating, or not celebrating, but memorializing 9/11 over the weekend. And he was asked, you can tell Donald Trump is really starting to irritate him. Trump isn't even on social. This is the funny part, Nicole. Trump isn't even on social media anymore. right? He's been banned. He's been deplatformed. And yet he still finds ways to irritate Joe Biden and his administration. Biden was asked about Trump. Well, Trump, I should say, was asked first about who he'd like to see in the ring. Right. He was doing some color commentary for the Evander Holyfield. I forgot. And Holyfield fought some UFC guy. I forgot the guy's name. And Holyfield was knocked out in the first round. You know, Holyfield is 58. But Trump and Trump Jr. were giving commentary. And in the lead up to this event, Trump was asked who he'd like to see in the ring. And Trump said Biden, and he said it would be, you know, pretty quick knockdown. Of course, Biden is asked about this, doesn't know really how to respond, and he's also starts to rant incoherently, which is vintage Joe Biden, but he's doing this at like 9/11 memorial events. So here is one that took place on Saturday with Joe rambling.
This idea that, you know, well, you know, what do you want to do with Biden? I want to box him. I should be so lucky. You know what I mean? But it is the kinds of things, or, you know, stuff that is coming out of Florida, stuff that's coming out of, you know, Robert E. Lee had been in Afghanistan. You're the one.
What?
No. Anyway.
So.
I'm telling you too much.
Biden's brain is clearly malfunctioning here. So he's bringing all these different events. And I can break it down for you. The whole Robert E. Lee, Trump had mentioned if Robert E. Lee was in charge, you know, Afghanistan would have turned out differently. Probably true. I mean, you can't do any worse than the bozos we have running the Defense Department now. The Florida, of course, is in response to Ron DeSantis and the boxing. When Biden says, oh, you know, if I can get in the ring, I should be so lucky. Now, politics aside, Nicole, if you really had to wager a bet, then Trump versus Biden in the ring, this is a physical matchup. Where would the bet go?
Sorry, what was that?
Jason? What, you're not even paying attention?
You can see I'm multitasking. I'm pulling stuff for later in the show.
Oh, my goodness. I'm asking Nicole a question here. She's not even paying attention to the guest. Deserted me on Friday.
Deserted me
on air.
I know. Sorry about that.
It's okay. All right. So Biden says he would be so lucky if he got into the ring with Trump.
Right.
Okay. Politics aside, right? I mean, we're not fans of the Biden administration, but, you know, politics aside here. What if there really was the pay-per-view signups would be through the roof if this did ever take place.
Mm-hmm. But celebrity.
Who would your wager be on?
Over Trump or Biden?
Yes.
Well, I'm pretty sure Trump could sit on him and it would be
over. It would be over. Well, Trump has actually done wrestling matches, right? WWF stuff in the past.
Oh,
I mean, 15, 20 years.
Spoiling something here, but that's big.
That wasn't Trump?
No, I mean the wrestling.
The fights are fake. No, I know the fights are fake and staged. But I'm saying he's done that type of entertainment in the past.
He's more mobile.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. I mean, he can get some training. Mm-hmm. But Biden there ranting incoherently. He was at another event, and this was with the first responders in New York City. And listen, New York, I'm a New Yorker, born and raised in New York. So I love police officers. I love firefighters. You get it's not like hipster New York now, gentrified New York, man bun New York. It's not, you know, it's a lot of New York today, but you get vintage real New York is in the spirit of the firefighters and the NYPD officers. So Biden goes to an event with them, and this is pretty funny. He gets booed. I don't want to ruin the funny part, but I first heard it, and I laughed out loud.
Boo! You're a mutt for what you did to Afghanistan. Terrible.
Don't sniff him.
Terrible.
He says it's like, don't sniff him. Biden is bending over in the video. You see him bending over to hug and greet some females. And of course, don't sniff him. Amazing. I love it. I absolutely love it. Trump, by the way, had also some some events over the weekend with first responders, and he was greeted very warmly by the first responders in New York. And in fact, he took some questions and he was asked if he would consider running for some political position in the future.
We did great with the military. We did incredible with police and fire. So I just want to thank you all. Yes, please.
One more question, Mr. President. If you decide not to run for president, if you decide not to, would you consider running for mayor of New York City?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would love that. I tell you, we could straighten it. I'd say, fellas, good luck. Go to town. They'd be announcing in 1 week, there's no crime in this. There's no crime. What the hell happened? I said, that was the easiest job I've ever... That would be such an easy job. But I appreciate that question. That's cool. If I give you even a positive, a little like jokingly, they'll say, Trump's running for mayor.
He's not even a resident of New York City anymore, so he... couldn't run for, he would have to change his residency again. Now he's a resident at Mar-a-Lago. A beautiful place. Have you ever been to Mar-a-Lago?
I haven't. I'm going to Florida, actually, in November for the first time. I've never been
there. What part of Florida?
Orlando.
You go, the armpit of Florida. I'll be there soon, too, with, you know, the kids, eventually, for all the Disney get-up. But Florida's great. I mean, it really is like you're in a different land altogether, and no one is nearly as a... Well, I don't know about Orlando. I don't go to Orlando often, but you're going to have a great time.
I'm excited. Sure. I think that it was really smart the way he handled this because, it seems maybe he wasn't invited to some of the events that the other former presidents had been invited to.
He was not invited, no.
Right. So I thought this was a really smart move on his part to go and meet with the first responders, the people that were there, the people that, you know.
He was
was smart. And the photo op, like, you cannot, you know.
So he's having these parallel events, and he's actually taking questions. He's talking. He's giving remarks. I mean, it's Trump. I think he really is laying the groundwork to run again.
I think you saw my prediction.
Yes.
I think it's going to be a family member that runs again. So I think that's why there's this big buildup because, I mean, he's getting old. I don't think that he really sees... 8 years still being president. I think he's going to put his kid in there.
It would be Trump Jr. who would run. Right. He's the more outspoken one of all of the boys.
There's going to be some flip to it like that. It's going to be a Trump or it's going to be something like that. I think if he was going to do it, he would have already done it.
He doesn't need to announce now. It's far too, he would announce, whoever announces usually waits till the midterms. Mm-hmm. And then they do it. But I think Trump's ego is so big that he's not going to even want his son to eclipse him. I say this, by the way, I don't want Trump to run. I voted for him in 2016. I voted for him certainly in 2020.
We need to move on.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. There are enough other... I mean, Ron DeSantis is, talked about as a big candidate, but possibly... We'll see. But I think we need to move on. And Trump gave us a format... But we need to look for the Trump without the baggage because he's exhausting. Is he not?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
no.
I was exhausted. I mean, I don't want to. Just too much. His ego was too big.
It was good for us as far as, we're a radio show. And this stuff is still good for us. But yes, it's exhausting. And we want the, let's solve some problems now. And maybe something that'll stick around.
There are candidates emerging who are Trump without the baggage. And I think that's a... That's going to be good. Okay. Coming up, Larry Elder, maybe the next governor of California. There's a little twist. The recall election is tomorrow. We got the latest news on that, on a shocking endorsement nobody expected. Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory Monson. We'll be back in a flash. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show with me, your guest host for 3 days now, Jason Matera. I've enjoyed every moment of it, filling in for Dory, the big man here.
He is coming back. That at the beginning and people are, I just got a voicemail from somebody asking if he was ever coming back.
I've been saying that.
Well, I know.
It's a door. Yeah. I know. Every day I'm saying, yeah, it's a door. I'm just feeling it. He's just getting
some rest. We're so appreciative of you and you being here and, it's
people
fine.
Want Dory.
People got to take vacation.
But yeah, I know. But people, it's understandable. They're used to Dory's voice. They're used to his insight. And they're used so? I mean, I get it.
If you want to keep hearing Dory's voice, you got to let them have some rest once in a while.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Everyone needs that vacation to unwind, decompress. So he'll be back here. And you know, the thing is, once you unwind and decompress, you feel like, especially for a radio guy, you feel like you're just bursting on the inside, right? You just want and you just unload. So it's probably going to be an epic show tomorrow. All the stories that
Everything's built up.
It's like just a volcanic eruption.
I actually could tease that we'll have Adam Smith on the show tomorrow. So that'll be okay. That'll be fun.
I don't know how to. I was thinking about how am I going to transition to what we're going into now. There was no good transition, so that's right.
Yeah,
well, recall is tomorrow in California, and I don't think. Well, I'd be shocked if Newsom is recalled. My money wouldn't be on it because California has moved so far to the left since the last recall, which Schwarzenegger, when he was successful, and he was also such a big Hollywood name. But that aside, I hope it does happen, and Larry Elder, who's the leading Republican candidate to replace him, picked up a surprising endorsement over the weekend, and that is Rose McGowan. She's famous for Scream. I know that 20 years ago. Has she done anything recently? I just keep hearing Scream. I don't know.
I don't really follow her
career, but I don't even remember Scream. It's like 12 when it came out.
Oh, really?
13. I don't know. I mean, I barely remember it.
That was high school. That was fun.
I think
like
I just
the only scary movie I'd watch.
I don't know. I don't know if I was allowed to watch it. That was the thing. My parents did very strict on what we could and couldn't watch. But anyway, she endorsed Larry Elder and said it was time to move past the group think. And if I have time, I'll get to her audio. But I wanted to get to this because it shows just the app when people distrust, especially conservative, the media, and say the media is out to besmirch conservatives, out to misrepresent conservatives. This is one of the clearest examples you'll see. Late last week, Larry Elder, and we actually mentioned this on the show, he was targeted with a racist attack. Some nut job wearing a gorilla mask. Larry's black. So this nut job wearing a gorilla mask throws an egg at Larry Elder. And if Larry was a Democrat, this would have been a hate crime and would have been prosecuted already for sure. But Larry's a Republican, so not really a big deal. The LA Times has a story on this incident, and they called it like an altercation between Larry Elder and an altercation. Larry Elder didn't do nothing. He walked by a person. She threw an egg at him. She's wearing a gorilla mask, right? Or Larry didn't do anything himself. But here's the crazy thing. They talk about Larry, some hostilities brewing in an altercation between Larry and a protester. And they show the woman either throwing the egg or about to throw the egg. But then they have another photo that they put out in their news story of Larry Elder. It looks like he's going to slap a woman, right? Right, Nicole? It looks like he's a slap. Like, this is the altercation.
His hand is on the side of her face.
On the face. Like, it looks like, bam. And, and if you don't know the context, you think, oh my goodness, Larry Elder just slapped the woman in the face or was about to. It turns out it was the woman who invited Larry Elder to this event. And Larry Elder was in the process of giving her a hug. A hug. And you have this deceptive photograph, the deceptive image that the LA Times used in their story to show that Larry Elder potentially was about to smack some woman in the face. This is what we call media malpractice. This was intentional dishonesty. It's not surprising coming from the LA Times. They called Larry Elder a black man, the black face of white supremacy. If you want to take me seriously, right, you want us to take you seriously, you cannot call a conservative black man the black face of white supremacy just because he doesn't comport with liberal orthodoxy. And this is where the LA Times goes. They don't offer any type of argument or policy persuasion. If you just disagree with them, you have an alternative worldview. Your worlview does not comport. Then, well, you know, you're the black face of white supremacy. You're about to slap a woman. No, that's not what happened. But he picked up an endorsement from Rose McGowan. I don't know if that helps him or not. She's kind of a nut, but, you know, he got her endorsement. Jason Matera filling in for Dory Monson, the fastest 15 when we return.